This episode is sponsored by Hulu. The reality queen herself, Lisa Vanderpump, has a new home on Hulu and has teamed up with them to bring you the newest, most exciting reality series yet, Vanderpump Villa. In an escape to the French countryside, Lisa and her staff work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. The series offers first-class luxury with world-class drama. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Folks, welcome to an all-new episode of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is your buddy Ryan, and this is your Tuesday episode. Whew, man. How was the re-entry to the week, folks? Was Monday good? Okay, good. Listen, we have a great show today. We have the one and only Jackie Schimmel back with us. And I mentioned this yesterday, but I did this interview on Friday afternoon, and it was one of those, you'll hear, I'm just a giggle gertie. That's what my mom always, I'm just being a giggle gertie. I was a giggle gertie the whole entire interview. It's so fun when you can just be stupid and laugh with somebody about all of this silliness. And Jackie, you know, there's so many great, I was thinking about this. There's so many amazing females in my life, one, but two, I'm trying to put this in the right way. I think I talk to more women that are hysterically funny than I do men. Like, I have so many women that come on this show that just literally, like, I bust, you hear it week in and week out. I will just be a giggle gertie. And Jackie Schimmel made me be a giggle gertie to the 10th power. Oh my God, I'm just giving myself douche chills as I say giggle gertie more and more. Listen, we've got a lot of things to cover right before that, but I'm trying to get this into 20 minutes before we get to Jackie. Remember, there's a timestamp, so you can skip right to Jackie. But we did this Friday afternoon. I think Jackie right now is on her therapeutic retreat, which we talk about. So I don't think she has access to her phone right now, which is like, I was like, oh my God, because she had to give up her phone at this retreat. And I was like, do you think I could call the retreat and have them post the show post on your feed? And I don't think that's going to happen. So please spread the word today, you guys. If you like this podcast, and why wouldn't you, please rate it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I got an email today saying why I need to practice being more cocky and confident. And I just don't think, I think this far into my life, I don't think I can switch to that. But like, it just doesn't even feel natural. Like, yeah, fucking like this show because it's the shit. Like, I even just do, I can't do it. Anywho, okay, can we start off where I'm a clairvoyant? Can we start off where we admit that I have special entertainment powers? Because today I woke up to the news that Kimmeth Kardashianeth from the Kardashian family has signed on to do the new season of Ryan Murphy's American Horror Story. I think it's like season 11 or season 12, so it's deep into the seasons. But I want to point out and remind people that I have said since October, mark my words, Kim Kardashian is trying to break into acting. Now, I got this vibe because I think it was the first season of the Kardashians on Hulu. I think she said ad nauseum about how special of an experience her Saturday Night Live guest spot was, where she met Pete Davidson. But I thought she caught the acting bug. And then I saw her on Halloween and she was dressing up. Remember, she was doing all the really special effects makeup to make her look like Mystique from the X-Men movies, which is that weird blue, you know, she painted herself blue like an Avatar Navi. But I was like, wait a sec, this girl is trying to get acting work. And sure enough, and by the way, American Horror Story is a perfect place for Kim to kind of dip her toes in the water because there's a lot of stunt casting in there. Ryan Murphy, you know, it's the 11th season, but Ryan Murphy is, you know, he does a lot of prestige projects, right? If Kim does good in this, maybe he'll put her in the Jeffrey Dahmer season 2. Yeah, maybe he'll put her in a Glee reboot. Who knows? But I was just like, holy shit. I called this in October. This is where I will get cocky. I don't get the credit I deserve. Somebody needs to be writing down my predictions because I think I might need to be studied by the government. Listen, if you are going to take my word on that, follow me down another rabbit hole. Now, if you didn't listen to Monday's episode, I talked with Sophie a lot about PR moves, and especially in regards to Scandoval, the Tom Sandoval drama. Now, we had that amazing lady that was on talking about her boots on the ground experience at the Saturday night show of Tom Sandoval and the Most Extras, right? I do want to point out on Friday night's show, he did back-to-back shows with his band. And on Friday, he called himself the artist formerly known as Scandoval. I don't know. That kind of shit is cheesy. It's like, You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like the Scandoval and all of those kind of terms, those are for us. You are the Scandoval. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Prince didn't even call himself Prince at the end of the day. He was just a symbol. Oh my God. I can just hear Prince rolling in his grave after I compared him to Tom Sandoval. But we got news today, and you guys, you're going to think I'm making this up. You're going to think, Ryan, I don't even know what day in April it is. Okay, it's April 11th. How dare you do an April Fool's Day joke on April 11th? But I'm here to tell you that Tom Sandoval has granted his first interview to a podcast, and that podcast is hosted by Howie Mandel. That's right. The hard-hitting interviewer, Howie Mandel. That's right, from America's Got Talent, the famous germaphobe. Did he Deal or No Deal, right? That was he, you know, I mean, obviously a very successful career, but he was on a show today where he was talking. He was on the H3 podcast with Ethan Klein, who, I've seen clips of him, and what a empire that dude has created. But I guess Howie was on his show, podcast, YouTube, whatever it is, and he was talking about going to interview Tom Sandoval today. And he was explaining it, and he was like explaining it to Ethan what Tom Sandoval's deal is. Now, Howie does not watch Vanderpump Rules, right? So this potentially from Tom's PR side, you're like, okay, that's pretty good. Okay, it's not going to be somebody deep in the Vanderpump lore that will be able to call him on bullshit from past seasons and things like that, right? So he's safe on that front. It's not like a deep fan. Howie barely knows this show exists until this week. Okay. So good on that front. But at the same time, listen, no offense to Howie Mandel, but I mean, doesn't that feel like the apocalypse, like the third horseman of the apocalypse? You know, like you see Tom Sandoval's name with Howie Mandel. And Howie Mandel, like I said, is a legend in his own right. It's just those two names together. It's not peanut butter and chocolate at all. It's like chocolate and like Sour Patch Kids. It just does not fit in any sort of way. Listen, I'm going to give you a full report of that podcast. I'll probably do a whole separate podcast about it on Friday, right before the actual recap, which sucks. I'm just guys like, we got to chill out on all of this news, but so much stuff is coming in, but I have a feeling it is going to be hysterical in a lot of ways that they didn't mean, or it could be potentially great, right? Always leave room for the impossible. But you would be asking me this, Ryan, why did he choose Howie Mandel? It was such a mystery to me. Until, and this is what I am going to start getting cocky. I'll toot my own horn. You're going to find out information on this show, on every show, that you won't find out on other podcasts or entertainment sources. You just have to listen to like 2 hours of me blabbing to find those pieces of information out. But here is a piece of information right now. He is going on that show because his drummer, who I've talked about on this show before, Jason Bader, who actually, you know, he's always been very nice to me, Jason. It's very unfortunate that Tom has put his band in some of these situations that they're in now. But Jason works for Howie Mandel. Jason Bader has an affiliation with Howie Mandel. And that is why we know Tom Sandoval will be going on the Howie Mandel podcast. So I was wondering the connection. I'm so glad I found it out, because otherwise I'm just like, holy shit, is just random celebrity podcasts just asking these people to be on? I'm so glad, because that would have kept me up all night long. So that is why. Hope that answers some questions for you guys. But then it begs the question, what's going on over at Bravo? Did they not sign these people to any sort of gag order? They're trying to get them to do an 11th season, so they've got to wear kid gloves in dealing with this. Now, if I was somebody that has studied pop culture every day of my life since I was a kid, this would be my thought process on this. Is that, of course, they want Tom to shut his mouth until the reunion. But Tom is probably argued that he is being hung out to dry, that he has come across worse than he's ever come across in the 10 seasons of this show, and he needs to get his message out, whatever it may be, because he has to sell dates for his band, and he has to work in this whatever industry he calls this. So that would be my guess. But if he's able to do this, I would then advise Ariana, and I'm not going to even tell you what I would advise Ariana, because I'm actually going to advise Ariana because I know exactly what she should do in this situation. And probably you guys at home know exactly what she should do as well. But you got to pick your battles wisely. Now, of course, it's not smart for Tom to go on somebody that really knows this show well, their podcast or show. It's not smart for him because he would genuinely look even worse with somebody that does know this show, right? So Howie Mandel does make sense in this weird, perverse logic way. But I've had Tom Sandoval on this podcast. And by the way, you can search Tom Sandoval on So Bad It's Good, and you can go back to the podcast I did with him last March. It is 2.5 hours. You'll hear a young man in his second year of podcasting literally kissing Tom Sandoval's balls because I was so enamored with that dude. Which, by the way, I do not want an interview with Tom Sandoval, but I know exactly all the questions I would ask him, as you know what you want to know as well. I think the worry here as a fan, not even as somebody that does this podcast, but as a fan, is that you don't want to bury all the leads. You don't want to give away all of the information, because this leads me to my next story. I talked a little bit about this on Monday's podcast, but there is this rumor going around and that Brock cheated on Sheena and bragged to his friends that he as well hooked up with Raquel. Oh, Brock, I am hot for you. So there is this rumor out there right now that says that. By the way, I just went back and listened to a little clip of my voice. The reason I'm talking so quietly is because both of my parents are asleep right now, and it's imperative that my mom gets her rest. So I'm just literally in this tiny, tiny office doing my Raquel imitation. Okay. Anyways, back to business. So around Friday, I think I started, Friday or Saturday, I started getting the message. And it was written the exact same way in these DMs and in comments on my Instagram videos about Brock hooking up with Raquel. Now, not only this, other accounts, Face Reality 16, who I love, she was getting the same messages. So I get a lot of messages that will like kind of hit me to some kind of information. And I'm not some like Bravo and Cocktail. I'm definitely not Bravo and Cocktails. I'm not Des Moines, nor do I want to be those people. They're great at what they do. But as this gets bigger, I will get pieces of information and stuff. And you have to be kind of discerning, because I'm not that thing. And I kind of, you know, there's been a lot of information I've gotten that's been true, and there's a lot of information I've gotten that's been false. And then you have to wonder, why is somebody pushing this out so much? And I want to use the example that I keep using, and I keep telling you guys, because I feel like everybody forgets. I want to use the example of that kid, Patrick. Patrick was the guy that said he worked for Kathy Hilton to, you know, plot Lisa Rinna's downfall. And then he went on and said he worked for actually Lisa Rinna to plot Kathy Hilton's downfall. And the sad thing about that was then people started really pushing that narrative. I think there's one account, Your Moms Are Watching, I remember, that was really pushing hard at that. And I remember talking to somebody over at Bravo that they were very aware even of that account and how false that rumor in particular was. And you have to remember, like, I'm a fan like anybody else. I fucking love mess. I do. I love it. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, and that's how sometimes this can come off. I really love it. But I want to point out there is crazy things that happen. As you can tell, Raquel and Tom did have a full 8-month affair, and you're going to continue to find out details of that. All of those details, not like it's the tip of the iceberg, folks. Trust me.
But there are things that are just blatantly not true. And if somebody is so desperate to get a certain message out, you have to take that with a grain of salt. You also have to realize which story is going to help which person. Like, just kind of take that down the line, if you will. So what benefit, who would it benefit if information came out that Raquel and Brock hooked up? So that would hurt Sheena, right? And it would also maybe take a little heat off of Sandoval and would put even more blame on Raquel. And then you have more pressure on Brock, even though he started to get somewhat of a good edit around the wedding time. But people are still suspicious from last season and all the stuff that Lala brought up, which they made up this season. We saw a couple of episodes ago. But I chose to do nothing with that information because I just thought it was silly. Like, I think I liked the message, or maybe I didn't. I don't even know. But it was a pretty quick no for me because it was not somebody I knew. It looked like somebody that created a fake account just to put out that message. And then I saw the same message, in fact, the same exact writing, like the same exact phrase from another account. They're using the same exact phrases. And that's when it got weird for me. So that was a real easy no for me. And then I just got to tell you, I went to some of the sources and, you know, I found out that is not true. Now, listen, I'm not going to put anything past anybody. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Brock is not going to cheat in his entire life. Like, man, I hope he doesn't. I think Sheena would literally cut his balls off. But I don't believe this to be true. If it's proven to be true, amazing. But I don't believe this to be true. I also just want to point out also with that Patrick kid that I was just talking about, remember how he popped up again a month ago, right when Scandoval broke? And I talked about this on the show. He started pushing this narrative that he was friends with this girl, best friends, and that Tom got this girl pregnant and paid for her trigger warning, paid for her to, get rid of the baby. And he even provided screenshots because this dude, remember, the dude did the same thing for the Beverly Hills rumors. He's really good at that kind of shit. But it was one of those things, guys, like, do we ever learn? Look at the source. If it comes from that kid, Patrick, it's just, there's no go. The kid loves to hop on that kind of shit. So this reminded me of the Patrick stuff, except that Patrick wasn't pushing himself as part of the narrative. But I do believe people get off on just seeing what they can put out there and who will run with it. And because we're such a voracious audience, a lot of the time we run with it because there's a part of us that truly is astounded when stories like this are true. And if Scandoval is already true, why can't this be true as well? But you've just got to temper those expectations a little bit and let the actual details come out on shows like Howie Mandel's podcast. No, you know what I'm saying? Is that just from everything I've heard, there's plenty more to come in regards to this story that's going to knock you off your coal mining ass, okay? But I believe I have no money in this game. Like, Sheena was nice enough to do my podcast, but in no way did she ask me to say anything like this. But I am going to say what I truly believe. And you don't have to believe that at all. In fact, do your own research. But I see a lot of my compatriots out there, a lot of meme makers, just posting this shit willy-nilly. And I know people are kind of desperate to get their little, you know, carve out their name and get a lot of, like, you know, quick attention. But I would just really warn people against that, because if you're wrong about those things, you will be trusted less and less and less. It might be good for you in the short term for your podcast or your Instagram account, but long term, you know, people might not trust you as much. So anyways, I just wanted to put that out there. I don't believe that is true, but I wanted to let you know that I am aware of that. It was sent to me many, many times. And I just want to let you guys know you're going to find out more details about the Scandoval stuff that has nothing to do with Brock that's going to, like I said, blow you away. But I do want to say there's like a video too. I think somebody, Brock was smacking Raquel's ass in some video or something on his, like, listen, these guys are all hot, young dummies. You know what I'm saying? They're all slapping each other's asses. Are you kidding me? These guys are all like middle-aged and horny. But Listen, I mean, if you think Sheena shoved Raquel when she found out the information about her and Tom, what do you think Sheena would do if she found information about Raquel and Brock? Brock would not exist on this planet anymore. And there would be a lot more than a restraining order that would, you know, you would have to put 10 restraining orders on little Sheena to keep her away from Rachel, Raquel. So, okay, that's my business. But listen, I hate to be a party pooper because I know it's so exciting, but I always want to kind of say what I believe is right. And I think there's enough good stuff that we can focus on in terms of mess that we don't have to just make up mess. And that's all I'll say about that. That's my Forrest Gump invitation. Okay, are you guys ready to have some fun? Enough of this shit. We talk, by the way, the Sandoval interview with Howie Mandel. I'm recording this at midnight right now. I think it premieres at 9 a.m. So, I mean, I know I'm already going to wake up to like a lot of memes already being made and a lot of things like that. But we'll maybe talk about it on Wednesday's episode, but I might save it on Friday. But I'm very much looking forward to it. Howie, you're going to have the best numbers ever, Mr. Mandel. Congratulations. And that's it, you guys. Jackie Schimmel, she's the host of The Bitch Bible. She's kind of legendary in so many ways. And I forgot that she actually had some ties with the Vanderpump Rules cast from back in the day. She started The Bitch Bible, her podcast, in 2015. I mean, it is wild. What are we in, like 2017 right now? She's known for like 2 years. No, she really had a lot of great information and she's just funny as hell. Now, the first half of this, we talk a lot of just about Jackie and what's going on in her life. And I got to tell you, it was so flippin' refreshing because I had done 2 Vanderpump podcasts the night before and I needed these laughs so much. So I think you're going to flippin' love it. But if you don't, just know that I loved it. And also Patreon baddies out there, patreon.com/sobadit'sgood. Sorry, I've been MIA more than usual, even though I did do like a 2-hour podcast last week. I will get to making that up to you, I swear. And also, before we get to Jackie, I just wanted to do a special shout out to Debbie Lopez Mediza, who I work with, her mother. She's going in for a surgery today, and I would be remiss not to put my good vibes towards her, and everybody give her a thought, a good thought, a kind thought, if you could. And I will talk to you bright and early on Wednesday. I love you guys, and here she is, Jackie Schimmel.
Today we have a returning guest, and this is somebody that I had the balls to ask again to be on the show, even though, you know, me and my life coach, this is something we've been working on. And I was like, I really want to ask this person back. And she's like, you should try. And I did. And she, you know, you could tell her opening up that DM. She was like, ah, shit. Oh, no. I've got to. This poor kid. He's down on his luck. I got to do this. But our next guest has one of the best podcasts out there. She is a huge inspiration, not only to me, but really every podcaster out there. But podcaster, I mean, I feel like that's such a really redheaded stepchild scarlet letter term, even though podcasting is one of the best forms of media out there today. Not only is she the funniest person out there, but her opinions on pop culture, married life, motherhood. I mean, everything, she is dead on. I was just listening to her most recent episode, and I'm not even a woman. And I was like, yeah, girl, exactly. Exactly. She's been doing The Bitch Bible since 2015. Just one of the most successful podcast comedians, musical artists. She hit number one song of Bitch on iTunes. She lives in Calabasas with the male love of her life, her dog Leo, and this other guy, Andrew, that she's currently married to. 2023 is going to be one of the biggest years for her yet because she's going to, a wellness therapeutic retreat next week. And then later on in the year, she will be producing a demon baby for the world, hopefully to inherit the Bitch Bible empire. Anyways, Jackie Schimmel, thank you so much for being here once again.
Wow. Thank you for having me. You know, I needed that on this Friday afternoon because I've had a range of hormones that have led me to look inward and be like, Jackie, maybe you've lost it. Maybe we disappear.
You should go like full Howard Hughes at this time, like pee into water bottles, just completely just grow your beard out. By the way, Jackie in her podcast this week said her butt hair is growing so much that she looks like Curly Sue, which is like a deep cut for everybody that did not know the 90s John Hughes movie, Curly Sue. Deep cut.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know that like genitalia hair could have so much texture post laser, Ryan, but you should know that it does. It's got a bend and a bounce.
You also have the love of martinis, which you have had to give up for the most part. But I want to let you know, on this Friday, I am drinking a martini for Jackie. I'm really loving it.
I'm so jealous. That is so mean.
I know. My mom was like, you know, you don't have to put alcohol in that. You can just do the bit with water. And I go, no, I need that. I'm gonna do full alcohol.
No, as you should. I had my lawyer over yesterday and it was like kind of early in the day. And I was like, do you want a drink? And she's like, oh, no, I shouldn't. I'm like, you should have a drink. She's like, no, that's kind of inappropriate. We're like talking business. I'm like, hey, Fran, why don't you have a fucking drink? And then I like dipped my finger in it and I just went like this a little bit.
Just a little vodka gummy. That's not going to hurt anybody.
No. It's just stung so good. I miss it. I can't fucking wait.
Now, I asked you on originally before all of this Scandoval drama, because I wanted you to come on and talk about Vanderpump Rules an episode before any of this mess happened. So I just want to let everybody know that. Now, this mess happened, and I'm going to get to this mess in a sec, because I want your thoughts on so much of this. But really quickly, in your own personal life, I'm fixated on the reality show that is your Instagram stories. Is Andrew a real husband, or is it like a Nepo husband? Is this like somebody that's act? Because I always feel so bad for him, but at the same time, he threw out like expensive shoes this like last week from after your sister's wedding.
Yeah, here's the deal with my husband. First of all, he's very, very anti-social media, which is hilarious because it does pay for certain luxuries in our life. He is deeply private. I don't know how we ended up together or how long it will last, but like I'm an oversharer by nature. I tell everybody everything. I have no secrets. Like, it's just like, I don't know if it's like a weird tic or Tourette's. I don't know what it is, but that's how I live. My husband is so opposite. He is so humble. He's quiet, he's calm, he's rational, he does not like exploitation on the internet. So anytime I do film him against his will, A, he's not happy, and B, he refuses to speak. So some people do think that he's like a paid actor or a mute, both of which are untrue, unfortunately. We are actually married, which is hard to metabolize for some people because we're so different. He is very, very smart in many ways, emotionally, intellectually, musically. But I also worry about him being just the biggest dumb fuck that I've ever spent time with.
He's like a redeeming character when I hit, you know, when he's on the Instagram stories, I'm always like, oh, what a strong, silent type. He's always picking up in the backyard. By the way, you're still working on your house, which is like the last time I talked to you, which feels like potentially a decade ago, I'll come back and I'm like, she's still picking out tiles on that. Like, I'm like, wow, still going at this house.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Well, we were supposed to do the backyard, but then I unfortunately was impregnated by the demons with the demon seed. And so we had to like flip flop our plans and finish the rest of the inside. I will tell you a secret. I am a sick little fucker and I like renovating. I love getting like elbows deep. I'm like a closet Home Depot lesbian. And I like picking out hinges. I like picking out tiles. I also like spending a lot of money. So it's kind of like it kind of checks every box. And I like the chaos. I like the fumes. I like the drama. I like theatrics. I like the back ordered. I like the blue tape. I like the plastic. I like the men in and out of the house. I like the jackhammering. It gives me something to complain about. I don't know. I like it. So I'll probably be doing it forever. I do things and then I fix things and then I fuck them up and then I fix them again. I can't help myself.
Wait, Jackie. No offense to Jeff Lewis, but is there any way we could do like a Jackie flipping out? Like, is there any possible, or wait, you're like sharing everything, but would you ever do a reality television show? Watching all the reality television shows you do, would you ever consider it? Because you know it would be good, but would you, because Andrew, there's no way you'd say yes.
Ryan, I'd be amazing at it. Okay. I'd kill it. But I do consult Jeff Lewis privately. On the side, I ask him like to help guide me in the right direction. Here's the thing about home tours. My house is gorgeous, but I'm not giving anybody a fucking tour. A, I think it's cringe. B, I think it's tone deaf. C, I feel like it's begging to be robbed. And the hyperflex of a home tour makes me very uncomfortable. I love when a bitch does a home tour, like a Maddie Prue from The Bachelor, who's like, we partnered with Crate & Barrel to redo our dream home. And then everything is beige and they have undersized furniture. And it's like they just got hot to the boucle tip.
This is God's room, the room we made for God.
Like all the printed canvases. And I'm like, do we need that home tour? We don't.
Oh my God. Now I do want to see you on Architectural Digest. Like those, like, hi, come on in. Or what is that? Is it Vogue?
73 questions.
Yes. Yeah. That would be amazing. You walking through your house.
Yeah. If you ever want to like kind of like not kill yourself, but feel like you want to kill yourself, you should want like Hailey Bieber and M. Rada's 73 questions. It just doesn't get more dismal.
No,
it really doesn't.
Have you ever seen Cara Delevingne's one?
Oh my God, I've watched that like 400 times.
When she in her house, you guys, I've explained this to the audience so many times. She has this thing that like you go in through like a washing machine and you come out
vagina.
A vagina. And I was, yeah. And then she has a ball pit that she finds a shoe in. And this is, Cara's had a lot of issues, but I'm like, it's very well done. But at the same time, could you imagine talking to, you know, you or a Jeff Lewis and saying, this is where I'd want the vagina to come, where we come out of right here.
It's a bold statement. I will say that I do love her house. I was like, I could fuck with
this.
Still like,
nice.
I'm kind of like getting what she's putting down, but it's a little chaotic. And that, I mean, that compared to like that of a Hailey Bieber early days, 73 questions. I'll take that any day over the fucking week. I was like, you know what would be fun? Putting lighter fluid in my eyeballs. Like anything is more fun than watching that. It's hard for me.
But that's what celebrity culture. I feel like it's gotten so boring in so many ways. And no offense to Hailey Bieber and things like that, but it is interesting.
We could throw her a little bit of offense. Listen, I'm not doing the Selena Hailey thing because I love myself and it's so deeply embarrassing. But like Selena Gomez too, find her on the TikTok. You want to watch that makeup tutorial? I don't like the slow blinking. It freaks me out.
I gave that up for Lent. I'm going to get back on it next week.
Me too.
When the Lord arises. But so I would love, but actually you could actually not even show your home. I would pay for like a Queer Eye for the Straight Guy kind of where you go to other people's place and just roast them. But also, you know, like, so you ruin their self-esteem, but at the end you build them back up. I think that could potentially be amazing.
I feel like I would be really good at that. And I do kind of do that on the side for loved ones.
That's what I was like. I was like, I wonder if like, you know, we're saying like 10 years from now, you're still in the podcast game. I asked you to come on once a year. By the 10th year, would you ever feel comfortable roasting me? Because I think you could also kill me within like 10 seconds.
I could.
No, don't do it now. No, don't do it now. I don't need an example. I'm saying like 10 years from now. Don't do it now.
10 years from now, 100%. I will be. I'll put lady gloves. What is it? I'll be tender with
kid
you.
Kid gloves.
Yeah. I do have a bit of a gift of verbal assault that I'm working on, but it is like low key my favorite thing about myself, where I really could fuck up someone's day with little to no information or facts or depth. But like, I could launch in into a sentence, and I'm like, I could break this person, and I know nothing about them, and they could be like Mother Teresa. Beautiful intellect, scholar, philanthropist. And I could probably, if you gave me like, I would say 15 to 36 seconds, I could probably figure out a way to fuck up their year.
I feel like you're like a Richter scale. Like I'm like always have to like go, you know, I told you this last time, like there's a couple things where I DM'd you like based off one of your stories and it's like, it went well the first time. And then the second time you just, there's nothing. And I was like, yeah, I gotta like workshop these. Probably should be a writer's room before I even got it. And I was like, it's probably just this sensitive. She sees the wrong comment at the wrong time. You're done. I go to look for the unfollow. I go the full bit.
I don't unfollow, but I am a little bit reactive, and it passes through me. Little bit reactive. It passes through me so quickly that it doesn't stay with me. But I have had to tone it down a little bit because since being pregnant, I am very detached to social media. Truly, like wow, somebody's bothered. it's not that. It's just that it's like my instant reflex. And like this morning I got in a real tussle with some stranger who has sent me a DM that was like the size of the Torah. And it was just like feedback that I didn't necessarily need at 7 a.m. when I was waiting for Andrew to bring me my probiotic yogurt. And I literally just all capitals was like, fuck off.
Sorry,
you're a loser. And I was like,
sorry.
I didn't even need to respond. Why did I do that?
That's the shitty part about like this podcast even growing is that more people then have access. And even with the Scandaball stuff, more people are listening because I do a lot, way too much Vanderpump Rules stuff. And I take it way too personally. But I do Tom Sandoval with it.
Rightfully so.
Well, he had this little lisp that nobody really picks up on. Like, very tiny, and I do it extreme. But then this dude on, like, I get a lot of intense DMs now, and he's like, Tom Sandoval is not gay, and that's offensive to every gay person out there, and da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, wait a sec. I know Tom is not gay, and are you saying every gay person has a lisp and that's what I'm doing? And
well, then
he said,
they do.
Us gay people, he says, us gay people don't, he goes, us gay people, she goes, us gay people will never trust you. And I was like, I don't need you to trust me, and please do not speak ever for your sexuality, because 99.9% of gay people have been amazing to me. But I was like, people are listening to these things, they get so sensitive, and I remember being the same, but it's wild to be on the receiving end of that sometimes. And you're now, since 2015, having people, I was watching you on the Dear Media Instagram of you reading your reviews, and I was like, wild.
Oh, that's just the tip of the iceberg. And isn't it funny how this is the thing that I just can't like wrap my head around, when people are like, wow, she's so bothered, she's so angry. Do you want me to get in front of a microphone and talk about my blissful day? No, that's not entertainment. So yes, I could phone it in and waffle, but people like me ragey and rashy. I like me ragey and rashy. It's a purge, honey. We're on the clock here, okay? We're earning ad revenue. I'm not gonna fucking sit there and tell you about my happy marriage and my, that's not fun for anybody.
No, and I almost got disappointed when you said you were sitting in bed the other day and you said you were really happy with your life decisions and you were really, you think you're going to actually stay
boring.
With Andrew. You're going to stay with Andrew, but then it really comforted me because within a minute and a half, you were like, this fucker, guess what he did? And you launched into the shoe story. By the way, other than the vagina monologues, this is my favorite monologue podcast that I really, it's one of those things that you kind of savor. Even the ads, I hate, you know, like ads are so hard to do. I'm like, you're one of the only people that I don't hit 30, 30, 30, 30 to get, you know, fast forward through the ads, because I'm like, there's going to be some way she actually makes this. I need ritual vitamins. But
you do
back. I do. No, I'm really close to death actually. Could you explain? I mean, I know you were just at your sister's wedding. You said you wore a pair of Amazon Jessica Simpson heels, but you had bought a $1,200 pair of shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know you're probably sick of talking about this, but for people
who don't... No, I'm actually not, because I'd like to keep talking about it, because I feel like I shelved it and had to get through it for the, like, just the sanctity of my marriage and not having really dark, awful, dangerous thoughts about my husband. But I'm happy to talk about it, because it's actually insane. And the beauty of 2023 and having looming death threats on the horizon is that I have a top-notch security system, one that has every inch of my home with footage available.
Her name is Megan. She's an android. She's AI. She's cool. Yeah.
By the way, did you see Megan, how good it was?
Really, that Screw Top
I loved
Gun.
It.
Screw Top Gun, that brought me back to the theaters. Tom Cruise wishes he could be in Megan. Yeah.
I was laughing. I was feeling so many different things.
The
like,
fireworks,
such a vibe.
Her singing fire. I mean, like, or like, this. It's amazing. It was truly a laugh out loud moment.
Unbelievable. So, yes, I had bought a pair of shoes. I was trying to be fiscally responsible, which doesn't happen very often. I thought, you know, the ankles are swollen. I feel like this is like gravitationally a safety hazard, because I'm like almost 7 months pregnant. Do I need to be spending this much money on shoes that I'm never going to wear again? No.
But you had already purchased them.
I had purchased them.
So, okay. Then, so, Let's not rewrite history. You did purchase them first, yes, and then you got them. How, like, in terms of a percentage ratio, how much was it the ankles being larger and the fiscally responsible? Like, if you could average that out, like 70, 30, 20, 80?
I would say like 98.2%. Fiscal responsibility isn't really my thing. It's not really, doesn't do much for me. I believe that the more you spend, the more you make. I feel like it's like a universal gift. I don't know. I just feel that way. It's strong in my lady loins. Honestly, I tried them on. They hurt like a bitch. I had to walk down the aisle and I just didn't think they had longevity. So in comes Amazon Prime, Jessica Simpson platforms, which was a whole other thing, but whatever. They worked. I left them at the hotel as a parting gift. I thought they served their purpose and we're ready to fucking roll. This is all podcasting
hall. The podcasting hall of fame is like, somebody at this hotel is like, I have Jackie Schimmel. There's DNA on these. Let's put this in like carbonite.
I was at table one. They were barely worn, shoved under the table. I hope somebody is wearing them in good health. So we get home. I flew instantly to Nashville like 2 days later to see Heather McMahon, who's a very good friend of mine. I wanted to see her new comedy special.
Dude, she sells out every – like I follow her too, and I don't know her personally, but she's like – I mean like she's selling out bigger venues than like alternative bands I used to go and see. It's like insane. Yeah.
She's a fucking rock star, okay? It's hilarious. I was like, we went to lunch in Nashville. People are screaming from cars, and I'm like, fuck you. I'm like, what is going on, okay? And all these bitches in Cheetah, I'm like, you're like Mick Jagger. Like, what is happening here? And she's so fucking friendly. I'm like, Heather, lock it up. Like, it's enough. We get it. You're lovely. Shut up, bitch.
We need the alternative to Kid Rock in Nashville, though. We need that.
Exactly. But so while I was gone, you know, Andy likes to keep busy and he started cleaning out the garage. And there is a video of him walking with said shoes. He took them out of my car. I said, Andrew, can we leave them in my car? Because right when we get home, I'm going to just drop them. Because I know, you know, you've got that window, that return window.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to forget about him. We've got tons of dudes in and out of our house. I was like, just leave him in the car. He's like, I need room for my suitcase. I was like, okay, Andrew, we're going for 2 days. You'll be fine. So I see him and he has my package and he just put them in the trash.
Does he look like he's in the video footage? And would you ever consider releasing the video footage?
I was going to, but it does show the front of my house. Oh, and being that I have had somewhat of a dicey situation recently with a looming death threat.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's fun. Yeah. I like it. I thought I tried to crop. It's too obvious.
But did he look like he was in a fugue state? Like there was possibly like a possession happening of some sort? Because what I see is like, he does look like a really put together dude. I know he's super successful in what he does. Like I know all of these things and I want to take his side and I understand like, me at Old Navy, I go insane. I'll sometimes spend $300 in a whole visit, but that gets me close for like the next 5 years. But like, I don't understand for this person who I think is very smart to actually think that. I just don't see, like, it almost seems like an act of aggression. And that's the thing that I'm like, was this secretly a thing of like, I'm secretly angry at Jackie. And so I'm going to do this or potentially to get more love from you in the end, because he almost likes you to like yelling at him.
It's an interesting theory. And I've deep dived that because I'm like, is he fucking with me right now? And I almost would prefer that option. I would have a little bit of respect for that because I run ragey. So I can understand the psychology behind him wanting to fuck with me.
Yeah.
And that would be cool. But genuinely, I think he's just a little bit stupid.
He's touched. Was he extremely apologetic? Was there tears involved? Like, I mean, did he know he screwed up big?
Really.
Did he?
No, like, no. He was like, there's no way. It's got to be in the garage. There's so much stuff. And the way that he's shuffling the boxes to the trash can, he's touching his hair. He's wearing these like jogger pants. He's shafing. He's a little pear shape. She's wearing her house shoes and she's just trying to get things done, but she doesn't think.
It would be amazing if he took a selfie somewhere in that process, you know, or looked at himself in the camera to see if his hair was like parting right.
Yeah, exactly. It was a lot of hair flipping, a lot of chafing, and a lot of damage done to my marriage. So they're in the trash somewhere.
Hey, that's literally what marriage is about. So I just want to ask one more thing before we get on the Vanderpump Rules, because I'm so thrilled to not be talking about Vanderpump Rules for a little bit that I'm just like, yeah. Jackie, tell me what it's like in the real world. Like, I've been in a Vanderpump Rules coma, and it's really intense. But the last thing is, are you truly going to a therapeutic retreat next week? And how did that even come about? Like,
Wow, that's a whole other story.
Are you filming The White Lotus season 3? What's going on?
I mean, I'm like, is this 9 Perfect Strangers? What the fuck is happening? So my best friend, you would never think that we would be friends. She's basically Mother Teresa. Like, she's like this generous, lovely, wholesome, like beacon of light. Okay. And she swears by this therapy wellness program. I'm not going to say the name because it's like, I'm not supposed to.
Sure.
But it's very bougie and in Tennessee, and, or like, 2 hours outside of Nashville, you go, the food's amazing, you trauma dump on people, you get put in groups, it's this whole fucking thing. She's been talking about this for years. She goes, her fancy friends go, her husband's gone. I have friends that have gone, they all say it's changed their fucking lives. I like my life, and I don't want to heal anything about myself because I like all the shards of glass.
Yes. What if you get indoctrinated in the next week and it completely changes you as a person completely, and you shave your head or something, like something crazy happens after next week?
Well, then you'll know who to blame. I will release all of the information about my best friend, and everyone can go riot outside of her fucking house. So she said to me, she goes, "You don't need to go, but you deserve it," which is quite a line, quite frankly. Okay. It also costs a small fortune to go. I would never pay to go. I'd rather go on a vacation, buy those fucking Aqua Zura shoes back, a million other things that, I don't know, buy another slab of fucking marble, clean out my plumbing, like whatever.
Call it college fund for your kid, like something.
Oh, that's,
you know?
Right. Not have my child on food stamps. That all that would be cool. So she, for my birthday this year, paid the tuition for me and enrolled me.
How dare her?
Bitch, I know. I'm like, first of all, that's what, like, I'll take the cash. Secondly, now I like have to go. So
is there a gift receipt for this?
I know. I was like, is this refundable? I was supposed to go in October, got pregnant. She's like, you literally got pregnant not to go to this. And I said, honestly, 1000%. I was like, I'll be in my first trimester. I won't be able to go. They'll refund her money. I'll be chill. There's only 2 dates I can go. I have to go, or or it's non-refundable. So I'm literally forced to go next week. I'm leaning in. Everyone's like, have an open mind, Jackie. It's going to heal. And I'm like, okay, I'll pack my yoga pants. Thank God I don't have to do the outdoor activities because I will be in my third trimester.
Oh, that's awesome. You can get out of stuff. That's awesome.
Oh, I'm not fucking hiking. Have we learned nothing from Yolanda Foster? I'm not going hiking. I don't want Lyme disease. I'm also Jewish.
It feels
anti-Semitic. I don't do outdoor activities at all.
You could also say you forgot that Passover was this past week and say, I'm observing Passover tonight, like next Wednesday or two, whatever, you know.
Oh, that's true. Oh, I don't think the dates will work out, but I could do that. I'm thinking of anything.
But like, I like that kind of stuff in a weird way. Like, I'm completely sarcastic. I have no heart, really. It's very black inside. But at the same time, I want something to pull me out. Like, I always think, like, if Scientology had gotten me at the right time, like, you know, like if like they had just, I'm like, I probably would have been full tilt on that stuff. The thing that would have gotten me was like paying any kind of tithing or anything like that. But
oh,
like,
God. Yeah,
that's, I mean,
boring.
Can you imagine the other people in your group when you're opening up and sharing and you're so good at speaking already? And they're just like, holy shit. Like,
gonna
that's
wipe
the stuff.
Floor with those broken bones.
Yeah, you're going to show them self-help right there, man.
I said to Andrew, I'm like, it's going to be hard for me, A, not to make fun of people sharing their trauma. B, I would never.
If you roast after every, you
like,
just have a constant, constant hand up.
Nobody cares about your fucking temporary anorexia in second grade, okay? We've all been there. Shut up. Like,
Jackie, again, you have your hand up. I'd like to call on Jackie again.
Quick note, but I'm like, I also don't, I'm kidding, kind of, but also I'm like, am I going to get up there and just start slinging like shtick? Like, what? I don't want to share my stories with people. Like, do I tell them about the marinated artichoke guy and Trader Joe's? Like, I don't want to like peel back those layers. We're good.
This is like the sequel to Girl Interrupted. Like, this is going to
totally.
Be, yeah. This
be is chicken really... under my bed.
Now I'm so excited for the podcast you do after the, I mean, this is, Howie, how many days is it?
It's a week.
Like, so five, like, business days?
Five business, like, 6 nights, 7 days. No technology. I'm like,
what?
I'm like, ma'am, Vanderpump Rules is, like, peaking right now, so I can't afford to miss my stories. No phone, no TV, no internet, nothing. For seven days.
I think this is coming out on Tuesday. Can somebody in the clinic post the image on your feed? Is there any... I cannot wait for the week after, though, because this is going... I mean, by the way, Jackie, this is your book. This is your book.
This
is, like, this is your book. Going pregnant in your third try, or like entering your third trimester into this. This is like the log line of moviegoers' dreams.
I know. And it's me. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm like, I feel like I'm going to get kicked out. I'm trying to figure out how I can smuggle in my Unisom and my Benadryl.
Wait, so do you have to, if no technology, do you have to like turn in your phone?
Uh-huh.
They don't trust you to not, wow.
I mean, honestly, I don't know if like my vaginal canal has expanded yet because I'm not that close to birth. But like, I'd like to do, like, if I could shove.
She's crowning an iPhone 14 Max.
I'd shove one up there. But I'm like trying to think. I'm like, if I like, you know, I now have been waxed. I don't have curly Sue butt hair anymore. So there, I feel like there's a little bit more,
it's more
little
visible.
Bit more grip. So I could maybe shove something up there. I don't know. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to do it, quite frankly.
I'm on prison TikTok if you do need suggestions. They are able to sneak. Like, I see prison TikToks. They fully have phones in there. They're making breakfast burritos. Like, Jen Shah, did you see the Page Six article today where she's doing theater? They're doing a Real Housewives play at her Texas correctional facility that has locks on their doors. Like, it literally sounds like what you're going to next week.
Wow. I'm going to prison.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping for early release. Okay.
Thank you.
On to Vanderpump Rules. Now, I realized this as I'd asked you to do this. And then I was like, oh, you know, you've been doing this since 2015 and you were actually friendly with, you know, post or pre Vanderpump, like, I mean, Vanderpump cast members of past, present. You've known these guys in a certain different way. And I knew these guys. I mean, like, I was decent friends with Ariana and Sandoval. I went to Coachella with them last year. It was like, I know Raquel, like I knew all of this stuff, but to come from knowing these people in small ways and other people in big ways, what was your, cause we were talking last time when you found out I think it was the J-Lo and Ben Affleck getting back together potentially or something like that. And you were in a car trip. You were in a car trip with Heather and a famous movie actor. And you were telling her this story, which was amazing. But do you remember that it was Friday about a month and a week ago when this
I know
hit.
Exactly where I was. Oh, yes. I know exactly where I was. So I was at East Coast Bagel in Calabasas at the strip mall next to the Bristol Farms. Okay. I decided that I'm going to throw caution to the wind and I'm going to have an everything bagel with smoked salmon and schmear for my people because I'm not going 10 months without a smoked salmon. Listeria or bust. Have you ever heard of anyone getting listeria, Ryan?
No,
have you ever
no,
heard of anyone getting fucking listeria?
Don't even know.
Neither have
is.
I. Exactly. Everyone's like, soft teeth, listeria, whatever. So I thought, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to get a smoked salmon bagel. So I sat down. I had an Arizona iced green tea, which I have not had since the seventh grade.
Wow.
It was the only option they had at the East Coast Bagel in Calabasas. I got an Arizona green tea, everything bagel with a smoked salmon schmear situation. Okay. I sat down outside. I was eating al fresco, not in my car. Which I had just gotten the week before. I was trying to be responsible. I took a bite of my bagel. My phone started smoking, short-circuiting. I'm like, maybe somebody died. I turn it over. I get hit with 85,000 text messages of the TMZ article about Raquel and Tom Sandoval and Ariana. When I tell you that I, like, my blood sugar dropped, I almost fainted and passed.
You're like, away. I have Listeria, whatever that is. I have it.
Yeah, I just got it. I needed to collect myself and I needed to go into like a tranquil environment. So I grabbed my bagel, I grabbed my purse, I woofed what I could down, and I needed to get to my car so I could like start doing some intel, making some phone calls.
Yeah.
Compiling evidence, whatever, like a journalist does. I was so overwhelmed that instead of throwing out the remnants of my bagel, I threw out my green Bottega bag. Okay. I threw out my purse. And it was like peak lunchtime. And there was a lot of things in that fucking trash can. I had to contort my body. My kids probably gonna
damn you, Tom Sandoval. Look at what you're doing to people.
I mean, ruining my fucking purse and potentially harming my baby. I had to contort my body and my arm to slide down, grab my purse out of the trash can, shake off like the various liquids, and run to my car and start making phone calls. I was like, "Did you see? Did you see? Is this real? Is this happening?" By the way, speaking of early Vanderpump days, I have had a lot of these Vanderpumpians on my show way back when. My podcast was produced at the very beginning by Embassy Row, which is the show that does Watch What Happens Live. So by proxy, all my bookings were like Bravo celebrities at the front, at the beginning. And I flew too close to the sun. So I got intermingled in some Vanderpump activity, backlash. Now, I was somewhat responsible for the cancellation of Stassi Schroeder and Kristen Doty, which I feel...
Oh, yeah. I was trying to I was trying to dance around that.
Around it anymore.
By the way, Doty's back on top again. You know, Stassi, by the way, her empire is still there. Like, yes. I mean, but this all came from an interview that you were a part of.
It did.
Of. I'm not.
It
I'm
did.
Sorry.
And so, we don't. No, no.
Sorry.
We don't dance around it anymore. I've got no secrets. I have nothing to hide. I will forward pedal and like hit you with it. That's the truth. They came on my show. I had zero listeners at the time. I thought I was like, you know, getting juice. I was living a real life plot line. Flew too close to the sun, got burnt. Didn't get canceled, but kind of got dragged through the mud and was also a little bit awkward. Like, sorry you got canceled for shit that you said on my show. All of that went away the second that this came back. I haven't spoken to Kristen Doty in years. She's always been super cool, super nice to me. I hit that bitch up instantly. Like, no shame in my game.
And was it like no time had passed? Was she like, I was expecting this text. Like, Jackie.
How often, like, hey, sorry I got you canceled. Anyways, is this real? Like, what's happening? You know what I mean? Like, hey, what the fuck do you do?
It would be amazing if you were like, hey, girl, what's been up lately? Not even mentioning Scandoval just to see.
Hey, how you, like, you good? Like, what? Crazy.
Hey, I don't know. You should have used the, you were in my dream last night. Are you good? And then go.
Right? I was like, I need clarity. I need answers. You've got to tell, like, is this for real? Like, what the fuck is happening?
Very real.
It's too real. Like, I feel that we only know the tip of the iceberg, which is a lot. I've had a full 180 on James Kennedy also.
Well, I mean, you love to fat shame people too. So, of course, I mean, like, no, you got to... Jackie, but come on. By the way, isn't the looking outside of this and having a, you know, the inability to look backwards for this cast is really, sure, truly awe-inspiring, because the, yes, fact that you have like released Ancient Evils back into the Vanderpump universe, like Jax Taylor, where he's just like, this is disgusting, Tom, when I'm like, wait a sec, wasn't the whole thing that Jax cheated literally on everybody that he ever met in his whole life, and now Jax is doing like a touchdown dance in the end zone on Watch What Happens Live, and Brittany's like, I didn't know that, Jax, what are you talking about?
It is, you know what it is? It's so layered, because what Tom Sandoval did is obviously atrociously disgusting, but he is in such a hot zone right now that it's taking so much heat off of all of the other casts and all of the, yes, shit that they've, yes, ever done so repeatedly.
Like, Lala, Lala should be kissing Tom Sandoval's ass right now because she would have looked completely different this season if not for this information.
We'll be back to that in just 1 second. Now is my favorite time of the episode where I get to talk about our sponsor. And this week, our show, So Bad It's Good, is sponsored by our friends over at BetterHelp. Now, believe me, BetterHelp, I think the entire cast of Vanderpump Rules needs BetterHelp immediately ASAP. But all joking aside, I know you guys know that I'm a big proponent of mental health, of just making really small steps that can lead into lifelong betterment of some sort. They want me to talk about in this ad, they usually tell you kind of directions to go. And this, they asked me a question of, talk about a time that I've learned something new about myself. And what was that experience like for me and how did it change my life? Now, I will tell you that I did see a therapist right before the pandemic. I was talking to a therapist. It was post-divorce. And I have a real hard time with confidence, which is insane. And a lot of people don't actually sometimes believe that, but I do. And through therapy, it was this wild thing where this amazing lady kind of started to try to get me to understand that these negative thought patterns that I've built up over decades could potentially be not true, that my own mind could be lying to myself, right? I mean, that is like the end of the sixth sense when he realizes he hasn't been alive the whole time. You're like, what? Wait, what? You're saying that I could potentially be like, that my mind is potentially against me sometimes? And it blew me away. But it also changed my life in a lot of ways. And it also led me to do this show. Honestly, it gave me the confidence to do this show. But in that, you also have to be very honest in talking about mental health, is that it's a daily struggle. You have to go out and do the things that are going to give you the best shot of happiness, or not even happiness, of just getting through life, which can be so difficult, right? And that, like I said, includes working out for me, taking vitamins, talking to a therapist. There are so many things that go into that, and you have to do that day after day, week after week. But getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially because we're always growing and changing. I change week to week, unfortunately. Not just my wayside, hey-o, dad joke. But you know what I'm saying? We really do. You have to keep on top of those changes. And that's where therapy really comes in. It's all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding. Because sometimes we don't know what we want or why we react the way we do until we talk through things. I mean, that's the other thing, is that I can have a billion thoughts going on in my mind at one time. And I can think, oh, all of these things about all of these thoughts going on. But until I speak it out loud to somebody else, do I realize that a good 83% of those things are completely nonsense? It helps you hone in on the things that actually matter. Now, BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. I have fully benefited from therapy. Period. Period. And I expect to benefit from it my entire life. But it is like the gym. You're going to not want to go. You're going to not want to do this. That's just how we are wired. Ignore those thoughts. Listen to this, or at least try this. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It even takes that out of it. You don't even have to drive there anymore. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge, because that's a big thing as well. Because sometimes finding the right therapist is like finding the right pair of jeans. Unless you're at Old Navy, everything looks great there. But no, all joking aside, discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/sobad today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/sobad.
I'm really proud that they are a sponsor because I really, really personally do believe in therapy. But give it a shot. It always helps the show. But I think at the end of the day, it could really, really help you in the long run. And now back to the show. Right?
1,000%. That episode that happened, I don't know, maybe a week or two ago, like we would have all been rooting for Raquel. Exactly. We would have all been like,
underdog story.
Yes.
Sure, she has a quivering, shaky voice, but you know, I always do. This is what I get in trouble for. Somebody said I was doing a mentally challenged older man. I was like, this is my Raquel voice. I can't even give a toast. Like, oh, it really, because she's shaky.
Multiplication tables, I mean, for fuck's sake. How about when she ordered a burger? There was a scene when she ordered a cheeseburger. She's like, can I get the cheeseburger with the cheese, please? I was like,
dude, earlier in the season, before any of this broke, she did an Atagi Net. She goes, Sandoval taught me what the word boundaries meant. And that's like the dark, like, so you like Sandoval, it's like this kind of, you know, what is the Kanye Kim, the what's that term? The Svengali. He's like shaping, yes, Raquel into being a background singer for an 80s cover band eventually, with Tom Sandoval and those extras. But like, right, this, like, it's shocking to us because, like, I was thinking about you in bed saying, I'm really happy with, not you in bed, that's not what I'm thinking, but like you in bed saying,
please,
I'm happy.
Do.
I'm
happy.
I love pregnant.
Please, I'd like to be objectified, Ryan. I'm not just a funny personality, okay?
Yeah, I'm
also hot.
No, but like you saying I'm happy with my life decisions that I've gotten older. And then here we are 10 seasons in and we are doing something so horrible that you would have seen in the first season of Vanderpump Rules. And even I was saying this on the show on Friday was that I said, I don't listen to Stassi's Patreon or you know, but somebody was telling me that she said after this, she said, you know, it took me getting out of a reality show to realize that not everybody is just cheating on everybody randomly. You know, like not everybody is just toxic, horrible people at all times. And but like that's what I think is shocking is after 10 seasons when you really like I believed in this guy. Like I stupidly looked up to this guy and thought like, wow, he really loves Ariana and she lets him go and do these weird side projects and like lets his freak flag fly. And it turns out he was like that. I mean, did it infuriate you like it infuriated me?
It made me. Yes. It the whole thing is so deeply infuriating. First of all, he's such a doofus. Like he's not even a good villain. You know, he's got that
the mustache.
The mustache and the sequin flared pants and his like, remember the gray streak we all had to weather that storm. And he's such a moron that the fact that he even thinks he could get away with this, like, is so, I'm so embarrassed for who he is as a person through and through. I'm so embarrassed for Rachel, Raquel. They are so stupid and so like, I don't get it. First of all, Ariana, I have met Ariana. She's cool. She's exactly what one would think she's like, you know? She's got that cool girl energy.
She's not trying to like, you know, the thing is like, you know, she was like the last person to put out a t-shirt in the cast. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody else was like, the Vanderpump economy, I'm in it. Like, and everybody like hopped on that shit like it was white on rice. And then
cringe.
Like Ariana was the last person to hop on that after we spent all of our Vanderpump Rules money on all of these other t-shirts. And you know what I'm saying? Like she was just actually going through this, but it's wild to see everybody's reactions. But yeah, Ariana, super cool. Exactly how she comes off at certain points on the show,
so
which does annoy people at times.
The way that the other cast members are trying to capitalize off of this is a very weird psychology. Like, it's so deeply uncool. I get it. I understand.
No, I totally
like,
get it.
They're, you know, doing backflips of joy. This is great for them. I mean, James Kennedy is climaxing 24/7. By the way, his girlfriend DM'd me and was like, I listen to the podcast. Yeah, she DM'd me. And I was like, I'll pay James $5,000 if he wants to come on my podcast and I'll deliver an apology because I've ripped that guy apart, rightfully so, for the record. I've ripped his asshole apart 1500 times. I mean, it's easy to do. He's a total moron, but he's so funny. Problematic, chaotic, unhinged, dare I say. But I love the guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's exactly the person you need on a reality television show, because he's Jack's 2.0 in a lot of ways, because he's more charming, like kind of, you know, interesting looking. He says things that you shouldn't say because you don't have that filter. And you do need that for a reality show. There's no, and the fact that Allie, that's the, my big question. If you do get him on the show, like, I need to know, like, what was Allie's take on you completely wigging out when you found this and being so like I, as you know, if I was his girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, is like, wouldn't you be kind of like, why is James taking this so intensely hard? Like, he was like, it felt like, you know, Tom cheated on Raquel with James. Like, no, James, like, it was even worse than Ariana. Like, James was like immediately just like, fuck this guy.
Totally. It feels a little bothered because you're close to it, because obviously that was your ex-fiance. I wouldn't love that type of a response from someone I was dating. Like, I'm like, why are you so, that would trigger and bother me a little bit. I'd be like, you're a little emotionally charged.
Yes. Yeah.
About this. This is not like, oh, now I'm not the bad guy. This is, there's something more to it. I think James Kennedy's emotional.
So you got it. Wait, by the way, Jackie has not seen this week's episode yet, and she's saving it for this weekend, and you are going to, please, maybe message if you've got to get to the point where Raquel does a puppet show with her like sleeves and a talking head. She does like a Muppet Show puppet show, and then DJ James Kennedy and Ally, DJ James Kennedy is like still super bothered. He's like, "Let's twirl at Sheena's wedding. Yes, come on, Ally. Yes, yes."
It's, oh my God.
There's so many. It's made the show so intensely layered, and it hasn't been that way in multiple seasons. Did you check out a Vanderpump Rules like a lot of people a couple of seasons ago? Because I know, like, when I see you, I know you're such a deep fan of The Housewives. I always see you re-watching classic episodes. It always, you know, there's always a fire going. But did Vanderpump Rules, since you were so close to it in certain ways, did you ever like check out on that show completely? And now you're like, shit, I gotta go back and watch.
You know, I did fly close to the sun. I will say that Stassi was really the only one that I had like a real, like have a real friendship with. Yeah. The rest, I was just like sitting back eating popcorn, you know. I never lost touch with Vanderpump. I've always been pretty consistently entertained. You know, when they brought in the new guys, I wasn't like as into it, but this hoe is loyal. So yes. I'll go down
with the ship. Like, I was like, literally, if this keeps going, I'm going to keep watching it. It doesn't matter. I'm going to watch it to the very end. The fact that it got resurrected this season because of horrible betrayal, even though it was already good before we knew this betrayal this season. It was like fun again. It was good. There was interesting takes because we had the Katie and Schwartz divorce. Now, if I could get some quick thoughts, do you have like 10, 15 more minutes? Are you good? I know you like, start teetering.
I'm just going to have to change locations because I don't want my computer to die. But yes, I'm good. I'm enjoying this.
Wait, by the way, is that a
You're getting a house tour?
Wait, is that a framed Prince photo?
Yes.
Oh my God. Wait, is that Andrew's? Or is that yours?
Where is it?
It's right there, back there.
Right there.
Yeah. Is that Andrew's or yours? Or I mean it's both of yours.
It's our living room, but like I bought it.
I love Prince is one of my fucking favorite. I want to go to Paisley Park. Oh, sorry. I didn't realize we were podcasting. I'm just like excited.
Oh, no. I'm just giving you a house tour like you asked for. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. This is, by the way, hold on. I was at Sandoval and Ariana's house and it like, there was like specifically designed wallpaper. Like Sandoval had put all of this work into the house with Ariana. And I'm like, it all goes to shit because you had to be a fucking weirdo. And that just like pisses me off. Like, I hope you're like showing Andrew this season and go, never get thoughts. Never get thoughts.
No.
I don't, Daisy Jones in the sixth this shit.
Oh no, I tell him every day. By the way, I've had him rewatch. He's never seen Vanderpump Rules. And I told him this whole saga. And now we've started to rewatch it together at night because I need a wind down. And he's so in. We've gotten into so many fights. Even last night, he talks during the episodes. So like I'm like, hey, this is new. I haven't seen this. And he'll be like, wait, is she married to Brock? And I'm like, we don't talk. I have to stop doing that voice. It's so annoying, but it's like, that's what it plays in my head. I'm like, you're not allowed to talk. You can't talk. I haven't seen this. He's like, nothing's even happening. I'm like, The devil is in the details with this show, Andrew.
It truly
is. You can't talk. You have to watch it. Honestly, you have to watch it six times. You'll miss things. Ramona Singer is the perfect example. You have to watch her 5,000 times to really catch every single thing she does, because she's so like very minuscule in her comedy that it takes a while. Like you miss things.
Yeah. She's there's layers to Ramona Singer's, like, you know, whole routine. It's a whole bit that she's so dedicated to. That's amazing. Which, by the way, I don't know if you just saw
her body every single day. I love her little legs. I love her body.
It's just kidding. Which, by the way, watch What Happens Live this week. I need you to watch it after you watch that, because Tom Schwartz was on and he literally said, oh, did you see Avery behind the bar?
Avery,
Ramona's demon seed? Ramona's demon baby?
Avery Singer, when she lost her job, okay, during the summer, and she got on TikTok and she's like,
she worked for Cameo, you guys.
I know. She's like, everything's going to be okay, because when one door closes, another door opens. And she's giving her spiel on like the light at the end of the tunnel after being fired, and like tips and tricks for like dealing with being laid off. Like, nothing brought me more joy. Avery Singer is.
And for Avery to throw in on that Watch What Happens Live after the first commercial break, she was like, Andy, we also do divorce parties. This is for Schwartz. We do divorce parties as well. Amazing.
Unbelievable. So many layers. Yeah.
Sorry, but like that Schwartz on Watch What Happens Live, that was such insanity, because he was literally standing up for his friend. He told us to go hug Sandoval. He doesn't deserve it, but go up and hug him if you see him, because he's down bad, and that Raquel is his heroine. And I've never personally done heroin. I don't think I'm going to start now. Like, this actually,
I might
this
start really next week at my therapy camp.
But what a wild, like, isn't it great? Like, and everybody's then praising him. Like, this is how good men have it in this world. I have so many women in my DMs going, I think it was very refreshing that he was completely dumb and untethered. Like, it is refreshing, but don't act like that's like some amazing thing that we should be like standing up for and like celebrating him for.
The threshold is so low. He was so nervous. And I like Tom Schwartz.
Is he, or is that a bit?
I actually think that Tom Schwartz is smarter than he lets on. I find him to be, I mean, maybe smart's not the right word. I don't think it's a bit, his like nervous energy thing. I don't hate Tom Schwartz.
I don't either, but
it
is interesting.
Why.
The boys club that we will protect, we will withhold information. He did it with Jax. He does it with Sandoval. And Schwartz has his own secrets he was covering up this season, which he's another person that has to kiss Sandoval's ass, because he was like, oh shit, people were about to find out that I had a full-time girlfriend living with me half of the week every week. And thank God the heat is off of that right now.
Tom Schwartz needs to be with a woman that whoops his ass into shape. He needs some kind of a bitch for like maybe just a season, maybe a year. He needs to get his ass whooped.
Would you ever hook up one of your girlfriends with Tom Schwartz?
If they were in a really dark, desperate place, maybe. They needed free drinks in a strip mall, gastropub. Maybe, but no.
Since you, this is 2015, this, no offense to Andrew, I don't think you'll listen to this. You never dated any of the Vanderpump guys, did you?
I would not. No. First of all, I was with Andrew the whole time. I would not tickle the pickle of anybody that was even in the background of a reality television show. There would be
not even
a
Peter Madrigal rendezvous.
0% chance. I could not. My favorite. He'll never listen to this because he doesn't keep up with me. But my favorite thing about my husband is that he is so deeply uninterested in all of this stuff. I find it to be so deeply attractive. A dude on a reality show, I'd rather like troll for cock at the local prison.
And you knew that in 2015. You already knew that when you first started out of all this. You knew that this was bad news.
Even in my desperate, poor state, okay, I had the wherewithal and the foresight. I refused to ever do anything that was being filmed. So I got bamboozled a couple times where I would get invited to things, birthday parties, etc. And I would get there and they would say, oh, you have to sign a release. We're filming. And I'd say, nope.
Oh, my God. That was the first time I met Tom and Ariana was at one of Tom's birthday parties. I thought it was his actual birthday party. I didn't realize it was a filming thing. And my whole body turned to water sweat immediately because I got so nervous meeting all these people with camera. It was just insane. But that's really smart. I just walked in and just started sweating in front of people. Okay. Here's some Vanderpump Reunion looks. You have a great personal style, so I would love for you to look at some of these pictures. And speaking of Tom Schwartz, he is our first one. Tom Schwartz, it's giving. I found the t-shirt in a laundry pile. What do you think of this look? He looks really happy, too, for everything that's happening.
She is glowing. I think that this is intentionally casual and demure. I think that in wake of Scandoval, he is differentiating himself aesthetically by keeping it very minimalist, casual, clean white sneakers. I like him in the glasses. I think he looks cute. He kind of looks like a computer tech salesperson in a good way. I'm not mad at this. I think it's understated and it's fine.
I just think the smile is the one thing that just, like, I'm just like, this supposedly was one of the most intense reunions they've ever had. And he's like, get one of me smiling. Get one of me a little light. Like, I just think that's the part
where. That's very Tom Schwartz. That's so on brand for him. You know, he's like blissfully delusional. He's like, hey, you know, he's like that guy. So now, this makes sense.
This next one, you've told me, what do you think about when you see Tom Sandoval? I made a meme that says he's selling term life insurance on Fox News, but he has a Gucci belt. He has the mustache going. What are your thoughts on this look?
I mean, just his body language alone, I like have such a strong urge to dick punch him in a way that I can't physically express. The Gucci belt is really the issue for me. The crossed ankles, the smug kind of like villainous look, that fucking Megan's Law mustache is doing him no favors. The Gucci belt screams, first of all, it screams Cabazon outlets, because if I am correct, which I believe that I am as a woman, a materialistic vapid whore of a woman. Now you should know, your listeners should know, that they do make certain accessories specific for outlet malls. So I do find this belt to be an outlet Gucci belt. It's not a new season Gucci belt. That is an outlet Gucci belt. Okay. Which is fine. No shade to the outlets. I visit often and I love them. But just the brazenness of an outlet, or let's say it's new season. I don't care. I don't care if that was his dead grandfather's sole heirloom. The fact that he is rocking that Gucci belt that he thinks is so fucking flexy, it makes me hate him all the more.
And he still has the white fingernails. He still, and you're right though, the crossed feet, like it's a model pose, but like what I want to see, like, dude, if truly all of this is falling apart, like come in a sweatpants, like a t-shirt that you've like spilled all over. Like, I mean, this is so ridiculous.
Do you need to accessorize? You look like a fucking Carnival Cruise Line magician who saved up all of his tips to go to the outlets and get a fucking Gucci belt. Like
he's looking directly into the camera and his hair is so slicked back, like in a bouffant almost sort of way. It's like, did he get Frankie like a Valli,
keratin,
you know?
Treatment, like he has a bump it in there. He's so unfuckable that this whole storyline is like such a joke, because he inverts the vagina.
Wait, I did make this post and Jackie DM'd, this makes my vagina invert. And I was like, that's got to be hard on the baby. And but it's very true. Like, this does nothing for you. But at the same time, before you knew he cheated, was Tom Sandoval getting more attractive to you as the years went on?
No, not even a little bit. Like, never, ever. Like, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. I find he's like a guinea pig to me. He's like a hamster with a sequin legging. Like, I can't believe anybody wants to fuck him.
Dude, I need you to show that picture to Andrew and see what he thinks. Don't even point out to Vanderpump, like, do you like this look? And just see if he digs the look. Okay, Sheena Shea. Sheena, second wedding. She had mentioned, we've seen the clip 30,000 times this season of Stassi and Christina Kelly talking about her first wedding, which they said was a quinceañera. What do you think of Sheena's look here?
Okay, I think this is classic Sheena. I do have a problem with the highlights because it, you know, it's, they're just unnecessary. They're not blended. I get that she was like maybe trying to incorporate some lighter tones. It's not nailing. It's giving BB, quite frankly. And that's what we love about Sheena. It's Azusa. It's BB.
Wait, BB Newirth from Frasier?
No, you know, there was a store, I think it's discontinued.
No, I know.
You know, like a guest, Marciano.
It's giving Charlotte Russe, yeah.
It's giving Azusa, and that's what we love about her, Raquel. It's giving Revolve, which is, honestly, it's supposed to be an insult, but it's almost a compliment to her. You know, it's virginal in its pastel blue tones. If she wasn't,
they didn't even give her a character shot. The one they release is just her sitting down, which, you know, everybody pointed out that everybody else had a character shot looking into the camera. They just have Raquel sitting down.
Yeah. You know, the girl that shows up looking like a bit of a hoe at your baby shower, that's kind of what this is giving. It's fine. It's
Is there
summer.
Anything there? Like, even before you knew about Scandoval, the thing with Raquel was just, it didn't, and even when I met her in person a couple times, and like it just was, there's nothing, it was just like dead behind the eyes. And that was the thing that always impressed, like, I was just like, wow, I just couldn't pick up any vibes there at all.
No, she emits no frequency. And I probably would feel differently if this hadn't come out. I think I would have really been rooting for her this season. Which I think all of us would be like, fuck yeah, Raquel found her voice. She found a mesh sarong. She's kind of being spicy. Like, we would have all been pretty on her side.
I won Daryl.
I can't fucking Daryl. Lisa Vanderpump, I'm going to say something. I think Lisa Vanderpump has the worst style. Hate it. If she wasn't rich, it would look Z Gallery. Everything does not have to be jewel encrusted and tufted with a ruffle. And that's coming from someone who really loves an embellishment. I am embellishments. Okay. I think this dress is Dolce & Gabbana. I think the way that Lisa Vanderpump
dresses.
This is
Dolce & Gabbana?
I'm pretty sure. I'm usually good at this. I think it's Dolce & Gabbana. I think she ages herself. I think it's a lot of makeup. I would like for the women listening at home, we really don't need strip lashes. Like, I don't think it's necessary, kind of ever. I really don't think it's necessary. It gives you strokey eyes. Like, less is more. We don't need a magenta lip. She's got tights. She's got platforms. I believe they're open-toed with a pantyhose. It's really a lot, and it's always a lot with Lisa Vanderpump. There's always a purple satin, a crystal, a drop earring, a pink lip. I think she looks so cute when she's in like jeans and a t-shirt.
Oh yeah, totally. The thrill that she must be getting through all of this too is just otherworldly, because it just,
oh my God.
What is this giving to you? Where do you get a dress like Lala Kent is wearing? It seems vinyl. There's a triangle cut out in it.
This feels like a higher end Revolve number. I would say this is probably like a Revolve Dundas collaboration. The shoes are definitely Jimmy Choo. I think Lala's so pretty. I think we could do less is more. I think maybe she was going like the cheetah was like, roar, I'm going to pounce. We're in the jungle, baby. I'm going to claw your eyes out. And I do think, you know, Lala of all of the contenders definitely has the gift of the roar factor. But do we
really trust the roar factor when you're like, oh my God, I think it's like an unreliable narrator, because, you know, she's gone through all of these things. She's another person that really can't, it's like hard for her to look backwards. So when she's pointing the finger at somebody like Raquel, or, you know, it's like,
It's a little bothered.
Yes,
obviously,
exactly.
If Ariana is like your best friend, I totally get it. I would want to fucking kill someone that did that to one of my best friends. But like publicly, my narrative would always be about those people hurting them. It wouldn't be like a vindication of self.
Yes, like inserting yourself into inserting yourself into the discourse. Katie Maloney, now this season would have been, you know, they would have had a whole episode about Schwartz and Katie's like divorce and all of that stuff, which I don't think we're going to get anymore. What do you think of Katie's look? She's there's been a lot of talk about Katie's fashion over the years. What is this giving for you?
Katie is beautiful. I don't like this. I don't like the shoes with the dress. I don't like the neckline. I think James Kennedy looks good.
Yeah. Yes.
I like the chocolate brown. I like it.
Look at the smoldering look. Look at that smoldering look too. He's like staring right into, and then Ariana, the revenge dress. What, I mean, they call it the revenge dress. It's a white, there's like, you know, it's very Fifth Element. There's like little straps across the boobs and the belly. Yep. What do you think about this?
Okay. This is so, she could not have done it better. This is a top and a skirt. The company is Monat, I believe it's pronounced, which is a very cool brand. You cannot buy it on Revolve. It is like hot and cool, and you gotta know about it. The red nails, the multiple rings, the sleek hair, not a crazy amount of makeup. Can we talk about the obliques? It's the only accessory she needs. I love that she didn't like mess it up with a bunch of necklaces or crazy earrings. She looks so good. In my wildest dreams, I couldn't have imagined a better look. I was like, well, maybe she could have added a slit. No. This is perfect. It's like,
and you know, Chrissy Teigen's glam person did her glam that day.
It shows. She looks incredible.
And that's what you want. And by the way, I hate revenge dress because Ariana does not want to get back at Tom, like with Tom, like Ariana, like this is so severed that it's like kind of, he did her a favor in some ways. So it's
it's
she's not even revenge. It's like, she just looks great. Yes.
She just got let off of, like, she just got untethered. She had an anchor around her ankles for 10 years and they just cut it off and now she's free. First of all, her business is going to fucking flourish because of this. She doesn't have to go to the Canyon Club to watch Tom Sandoval prance
around. I was trying to explain to the audience like Agora Hills and the Canyon Club. And if you live in Hollywood, but I'm saying like, it's a hike and it's like, usually like that's where, and I love people like Rick Springfield. I love all that stuff. But like, you know, that's where, you know, you go at that point. And they have like, they have a crew on Saturday nights that just comes regardless of the band. And I've been there for Tom Sandoval and the Most Extras when it was that nobody knew
it's
Tom. They just show up.
It's an antique mall during the day. I go there all the time. If the person that with the death threat, if you want to find me, I go to that Wizens Center all the time. I have bought copious amounts of furniture. I got my Missoni wallpaper from Chandelier and Tulips, which is three doors away from the Canyon Club. I was there the other day. I saw the poster for Tom Sandoval and the Most Extras. They're playing tomorrow night. I was like, maybe I should go.
Oh, it is tomorrow. Jackie.
Should I go? It starts at 6 p.m. Tickets are $28. I was like, That's not cool for me to go.
Check Gold Star. It'll be 14 by tomorrow. It's going to be too
far. Oh, really?
Do drag Andrew, do the whole thing. That would be amazing. And just stand up like front and center and just look, stare up directly at him the whole time. Like he does, like all of a sudden that wife beater he wears, like it all, like I was like starting to think all that looked cool. And now in one fell swoop, it's all dorky as hell. Like I was really fully bought into the Tom Sandoval experience and it's so broken.
It is broken. It's like childhood trauma on a stage. Like you're going to be, what is he, 40 years old doing cover songs, tone deaf cover songs at like strip malls in Agora Hills, and you think that you're the next David Bowie? Hot tip, you're not.
It reminded me of like that. Now look at it, like if you ever seen the movie Boogie Nights, Mark Wahlberg, like the porn star, starts like a rock band with John C. Reilly, and it's like, we will rock you, and he's all like that. All of a sudden, it looks like that now. Whereas before, I was like, they've got a real shot because I really believe in Tom, and now it looks like Boogie Nights, Mark Wahlberg. Once it hit like the 80s, and everything fell apart.
I think I might go.
Dude, you need that because you're going to go a whole therapeutic thing. Like one reveling night, this could set you up for the rest of the year. This episode.
And then I'll have something to really talk about. I'll be like, so I saw Tom Sandoval last week and I'm deeply triggered and now I have trauma.
Oh my God. What if DJ James Kennedy still opens up for him? He's like, I've got to take work, mate. I've got to take work. I'm opening for this fat fuck. Jackie Schimmel. I've kept you longer than you. I'm so sorry. But the good thing about Jackie Schimmel is that this is why, because you convince yourself that you're friends with her because she's just so damn awesome and good. I really look up to you. And that's weird to say as an older man. But I really, really, you just are so awesome. I really root for you, even though you're way more successful than I am. But you are just the best. The Bitch Thank Bible you. Is the podcast. If you do not already know it, you already know it. But I just can't wait to see what is in store for Jackie in the future, not only with her child, but everything, because I really think the sky is the limit. So Jackie Schimmel, once again, thank you so much for
thank you. No, I don't do other people's podcasts, but I love you. So
Okay.
You do a good job.
Never again. Never again.
You will never see me again.
Thank you to our sponsor, Hulu. Their new reality series, Vanderpump Villa, is an unfiltered portrait of what it is like to work in the glamorous French countryside while striving to impress Lisa Vanderpump. As guests arrive for their lavish vacation, the Vanderpump Villa staff are pushed to their limits, ready to cater to every whim, all the while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Betches.